Podcasting 2.0 for October 8th, 2021, episode 57. We're the Rebel Rubes. Don't worry, all will become clear eventually. Hello, everybody. Time once again for the board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. Everything happening at podcastindex.org with the podcast namespace. All of the groovy ideas and gossip over there at podcastindex.social. Everybody is welcome here in this open board meeting. We do it every single Friday. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who's doing all of his state tax return filing single-handedly. My friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Gonna have some extra money to do it too, because it looks like we got our friends in India. They're charging for admission to the index.
What?
You don't know about this?
No. What are you talking about?
This is the latest hotness in.
But wait a minute, I've not heard of any of this. What's going on?
Yeah. So the Swedish trickler found a post on a website in. Some kind of Indian SEO website.
Yeah.
That it is charging $20 for to submit 5 podcasts to Podcast Index.
Nice.
So I'm expecting a stream of money to start coming our way.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. That's interesting. Funny. Yeah. I just did the Italian Podcast Festival. I did a little 20
describe
minute.
Describe this. Tell me what this
was fun. Well, this was Giulio, Leonardo. I can't remember. Who did we have on the show who's in Italy?
Alberto.
Right.
Alberto from RSS.com.
Right. I think it was Alberto. Someone hooked me up with these guys. So they reach out. Hey, you know, we'd love to have you speak at the Italian Podcasting Festival. I'm like, in person? They're like, no, it's virtual. Okay, so there goes the trip. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. I could have used that.
Well, Willow is there, right?
Yes, Willow and her whole family. She's been there for almost 30 years now, I think.
She's Italian now.
Pretty much, Italian. Yeah. In Firenze, Florence. So I'm like, what day is it? It's Friday. Friday is my day. But I don't like to do two things on one day. I'm nasty that way. I said, okay, Friday. And they're like, well, can you do it at 9 a.m.? I said, well, that would be Thursday in the middle of the night for me if you want me to do from 9 a.m. On Friday. I said, but I can do 9 a.m. my time. So, okay, well, then it'll be 4 p.m. at perfect. So anyway, we set it up. And it was pretty tight. I mean, it was, even though they had, I guess it was their, I don't know exactly where they were, but they had 4 different tracks. They had, I could see they had multiple studios, podcast studios. Although it was an online event. Yeah, it looked pretty professional. They had split screens going. They had bumpers. And, they even had a timed bumper for me. And they said, And they said, when you're done, just go, Viva Podcasting! I said, okay. So, I did a little better than that. I went,
go podcasting!
Viva Podcasting!
Oh, nice.
But the cool thing was, I had I texted my sister. I said, I got to have something. I got to say something funny to start off with.
With some Italian lingo.
Well, her husband is a pretty famous comedian, Alessandro Pacci. Yeah.
Okay.
So they gave me this line. And I had it all written down and I was cribbed and I knew exactly how to do it. And it goes like this. Hold on a second. I'm going to get yes. Buongiorno a tutti, a quelli belli. E anche e quelli brutti, which I'm told sounds pretty good.
I'll buy it.
You like that? So it's good morning, everybody, to all the pretty people and all the ugly people. Nice. And she said, don't worry, it'll go over great. They love that here. I said, okay. But there was no feedback, right? It's just me cracking jokes like Bill Maher during the lockdown. You know, it's like no audience. I have no idea if it went over at all.
So it's like the Italian equivalent of like, I just flew into Chicago and boy, my arms are tired. Yeah. Is that like
I think it's a little better than that, but it may be as bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So, yeah, and that was cool, man. I laid down the 2.0 smack,
What were you on? Like, what was the reasoning behind you being on? Like, what was the topic?
I am the podfather.
Just whatever you wanted to talk about.
Yes. Literally.
Open mic night.
Literally. They literally like, you're the podfather. You got 20 minutes and go. I was like, you know. So
well, I mean, that's what we're going to do with Brian of London. It's going to be like, okay, Hive, go.
No.
You have 45 minutes.
Oh, you're cutting him short. Oh, my God. Oh, that's I'm 45 minutes. That was good. And then I'm doing, they finally came through the Megyn Kelly show on Tuesday.
When is that going to happen?
That's live on Tuesday.
Oh, that's
happening. Yeah, this, okay, yeah, this Tuesday. This Tuesday. And I think, yeah, I think it's live on Sirius XM, and then it's her podcast comes out.
Now, did you ever figure out whether or not this was like the main podcast or some side podcast?
No, it seems like she's just converted her whole podcast into this with the Sirius XM deal, and you know, so now it's no longer hey, just chat for an hour or whatever. No, it's like, well, you have 40 minutes, and I'm sure they have commercial breaks and. So it's going to suck. You know, I'm excited about talking. Like, I mean, her podcast is what I'm interested in. And I think the Sirius XM stuff just gets in the way, to be honest. And it has to be on video.
So is it going to be just you for the whole podcast? Or is
I don't think so. Guests? I don't know. This is unclear. I think she has multiple guests on. So I don't know if you can get held over or go with another segment or... Because you know it's going to be 10 minutes MTV guy.
Yeah.
It's going to be maybe podcast guy.
I mean, you bob, you know how to bob and weave around that and get, you know, get into what you weigh. Like, yeah, MTV, blah, 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 pew. You know,
so. Oh, yeah, it's exactly, pew.
Yeah, right to the same, 90 degree shift, you know.
Boost. I'm sweet doing that a lot. Did you hear that, Megan? What was that?
Boost.
That's weird. I'm hearing something. Hello?
What? Boost.
Okay. We got this Cajun in the room.
I hear something about a boost. I'm not sure. Is that on your end over there? It's serious.
It's a shame you can't get these, Megan. They sure are fun.
It's too bad she isn't doing the podcast the way she used to do it, because she was doing these great host reads. And I had my line already. It's like, Megan, I really want to invite you to Podcasting 2.0 and Value for Value, because I just can't hear you talk about your legacy box anymore. It's getting on my nerves. So I can't do that joke now because I don't think she's a sponsor.
Oh, she's got real sponsors now.
No, I don't know. Sirius XM.
What would a sponsor for Megyn Kelly look like? Is that going to be like a... Procter and Gamble?
Well, Legacy Box was literally one of her sponsors. You know, the typical... Squarespace type ads. That's what she was getting.
Oh, so Warby Parker.
Yeah, that idea.
Mattress.
That idea.
In a box. Okay.
And I really think, you know, I've just been noticing all these changes in mainstream as this all started when I heard that Nielsen had lost their certification for their rating system. Mm-hmm. You know, for the math, as it were, which is kind of critical when you're providing television ratings. So they lost their certification. The streaming guys are just refusing to participate in ratings. And so the way artists are compensated is changing. It's no longer, you know, the big residuals. It's not based upon performance. It's not based upon how many people streamed it or how many people used it. What it's actually based on, certainly for the for crew and such as, you know, the big they got some pretty strong unions for Hollywood television and radio and film.
Oh, they're striking, right?
Well, they have approved a strike. They've approved a strike, and I think they will go on strike, because what's going on with them is their contracts are based upon how big the audience is of the streaming company. So Apple, who claim to have less than 20 million subscribers, pay these people less for their productions. And Netflix has to pay them more, because that's kind of working out to be the way the unions are negotiating. But it's not based on residuals. The actors also, you know, there's just not that much residual business anymore.
So, okay, let me try to get an understanding of this better. So what you're saying is that it is or is not based on total, like, monthly active users.
What are you talking about now? Television?
The residuals. No, the streaming guys.
No. So, good point. I'll because this works the same for music, but let's keep it with film and television kind of the same. But let's do television just because it's easier, because that's where we have a lot of ad interruptions in mainstream. Okay. So, if you have a television show, Friends, and you know, you're all actors, and also the writers, and there's many people who have deals that are based upon the long term profits of that product. So you'll get usually, certainly unknown actors, they'll get scale, and then they'll get some points on some fictional back end over time. But we actually have, very similar to ASCAP BMI for television, there's, you know, there's ways that this is tracked, and television stations that air it have to pay money. And that does go down the line, and it winds up through collection agencies. It winds up in the pockets of the people where it belongs. So if the kind of the rule of thumb is, if you have five seasons of a show, and this is Seinfeld, Friends, Cosby, Star Trek, you name it, then, you know, that going into syndication, which means all these podunk stations, not just around America, but around the world. And, you know, that's why they wind up still playing them at 3 a.m. You know, they're paying for the rights. So it's very calculable, or used to be calculable. But now that's going away, because the only way that these stations can actually afford to pay for the rights to broadcast these shows or series is if they have the ads against it. And they just don't have the numbers of viewers anymore, because people are out. They're waiting, you know, oh, fuck it, they'll wait a season, catch it on Hulu with no ads. You know, they're watching a limited run television series on the streamers as well. So the streamers, they decided early on, we're just going to do buyouts. So you work on this production, you're an actor, I'll give you $20 million. Well, you know, residuals will give you $25 million. Done, that's it. We own it forevermore. And that's a big change.
So what if you take the $20 million with residuals? The residuals are based on which number?
Residuals are based upon payments made for broadcast rights.
Okay. So, like, if you're Apple and you have some show like Ted Lasso, then the people that worked on Ted Lasso, do they, if they get any residual from that?
Zero.
They get zero. Okay.
Zero. And worse, because it was, if Netflix, if so the contracts with the union state, I don't want to get too boring on this, but 20 million and under subscribers, members of the streaming service, you get $75 per hour. Between 20 million and 50 million subscribers in the streaming service, they will pay you $100 an hour. Has nothing to do with your performance. Okay. Has nothing to do with how many people watch. It's just based upon the number that, by the way, is unverifiable. They're just, Apple's just telling you.
That's the MAU number. That's the monthly active users.
No, that's their subscriber number. That's how many people are paying Apple monthly. Not even if they're using it, just how much you're paying it monthly.
Oh, so the active part is irrelevant. It's just how many.
Completely. And it's arbitrary.
Nobody gets to say, Dave, if that's true or
it's
not.
It's arbitrary. Yeah. I mean, Apple can say whatever they want. So that's why, ladies and gentlemen, the value for value splits, although it seems like a cool little quirky deal for podcasting, is in fact a distributed digital royalty system. And it's working. Holy crap. I put Graham's node into the previous episode.
Has he gotten any
right away? He's like, wow, this is kind of cool. Yes, because nice. It just keeps on flowing in, you know. And it's like, you get 6 satoshis, 10 satoshis. It depends. Oh, there goes a boost, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if anyone boosted him directly. Yeah, Fountain just implemented item
episode
level
splits.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yep. And then so that's the thing. That's Fountain, CurioCaster. Is Breeze doing episode level splits?
I know that, I don't know if it's done, but I know Max Hillebrand has just been all over their GitHub.
Bulldogging it.
Yeah. All over their GitHub. That guy, he's great. Max is great, man. You don't want him wanting something from you, though.
No. I like to watch him want things from other people.
Yeah. And we got a super nice endorsement from Gigi. But value for value.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is all good.
Well, you know, that makes me think of the, did you see this? I don't know if you did or not. This thing about another Gimlet podcast called Heavyweight is going to be an exclusive on Spotify.
Yes, I did. And some of the listeners are pissed.
Yeah, it says, so I, you know, what I typically do when somebody goes exclusive is I try to get clips so we can mock them. And
yes,
this show is unclippable. I mean,
like, oh, really? Oh, that's too bad.
It's super like a NPR sound.
And oh, what's it about, Dave?
I don't really know. It's just about whatever.
Oh my God! So right now we're exclusive on Spotify.
Yes. I want to encourage everybody to download the app.
It's a free app. It's really good. It's a free app. Here on Spotify, exclusive. No credit card. You sound like a sex line now. No credit card needed.
Yeah, it'll all come through your phone bill.
It's fine. Yeah.
But they like, I don't understand this, and I want to. This was from, I think, is this TechCrunch?
Maybe? Well,
The Verge.
I think with this comes the thing that James and I were going back and forth about, which I got from Twitter, which of course is not a great source, but it was overheard in an investor relation call.
Overheard, yeah.
But what was cool is that James said, "Oh, you know, yeah, I'm going to read it right here." So here's what I. And I sent the screenshot. Overheard on investor relations call. Quote, when Spotify says 21 or 22% of users engaged with podcast content, what does engagement mean? Answer, monthly active users who have consumed podcast content for greater than 0 milliseconds for the last 30 days from the period end indicated.
That's the lowest bar in all of media.
I mean, that's even worse than the YouTube and Facebag bar. I think it's 3 seconds with Facebag.
I mean, if you walk in the room and even sniff a podcast, they're going to... Oh, there's your stream.
Play. We got to play. Engage. He's engaged. I saw you sniffing. Jeez. That's an engagement. And James Cridland replied on the podcast index.social. In case you wondered, this is mostly true, except the overheard on investor relation call. The 22% number comes from the Q3 2020 results, and Spotify counts a monthly active user as the total count of ad-supported users and premium subscribers that have, quote, consumed content for greater than 0 milliseconds in the last 30 days. But it wasn't from the IR. Okay.
I love I love that they're saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Greater than 0 milliseconds. And the fact that they use the term
milliseconds is even funnier.
That tells you that if you hit 0.1, bam.
Good to go, baby.
That's a stream.
I mean, we haven't even dealt with millisatoshis yet. They're already doing milliseconds. I mean, but we can do value for a millisecond if you want, Spotify. No problem.
Man, you can't even route that. You can't even route that on the Net Lightning Network. That's a fee.
Yeah.
No, it's... I just don't understand why these things keep going. Because this is what The Verge said. It said, it says, I reached out to Spotify for clarification on why Heavyweight is going exclusive and what the goal is with this move. And a spokesperson referred me to this August blog post, which posits to offer an explanation, but which says basically nothing. Mm. The clearest sentence that could pass as an explanation is maybe this one. We believe that streaming is the future of all audio listening and that our technology can provide the opportunity for the podcast ecosystem to grow, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, therefore, if you're listening on app, he goes in and starts pontificating about what they could possibly be doing. He says, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Pocket Cast or anywhere else, Spotify misses its opportunity to leverage the data it collects to not only serve better ads, but in the case of Gimlet shows, also sell more of them. Plus, you're listening on Spotify means
more ads.
Okay, so plus you listening on Spotify means it also has a better chance of converting you into a paying subscriber. Mm. So I just don't buy either one of those, honestly.
Not at all. And
the more ads, I don't see. I listen to this show. The content of the show as it stands now, before it's even on Spotify, The content doesn't even start until the 3 minute mark.
Yeah.
Everything else is pre-roll.
This is the change in consumer behavior that people are fighting against. In podcasting, maybe even more so. People don't want ads. They skip them. They don't care about them. of course advertising works, and I still, in fact, I think the smartest ad, and I'm just going to call it that, it's like a house ad, is when James Cridlin talks about Captivate, and he'll talk about how great their launch is and their great product, and he'll say, and by the way, I'm an advisor, you know? Now that, and I believe him when he says that. I believe that he thinks it's really good, whatever product that is. I'm cool with that. Whether you say I'm an advisor, I got paid, or it's my brother, it doesn't matter. I love talking about products, and I love being honest about them. The Tascam is trashed, is a piece of crap.
By the way,
I have it right here.
Yes, I love it. I love the fact that you've gone back to the old. I was so off my game last week.
I know. I got a really good response from somebody. And the problem there is you were not getting the typical signal back from me. You were getting uncompressed, poorly mixed crap, right? That it just didn't sound right. And it threw you
totally
off.
Weird. Yeah,
and it threw me off too. Someone said, I noticed the sound difference. And although it did sound kind of nice, it wasn't a problem. I really felt like you died a little inside.
I did too.
And that's exactly right. That's what it felt like. I died a little bit.
I felt like the sound difference was so drastic
that
it was throwing you off mentally.
Oh, of course it was. It's very important. Now I did.
This is like being in a warm blanket. You know, this is perfect.
Well, I did, just because I can't help myself, I did order the Revelator IO 24 from Presonus.
Oh, you ordered that for the God voice.
Well, I ordered it because, I looked at it and I said, you know, it's $199. And who recommended this? Who was it? Someone on the mess?
That was Matt Medeiros from Castos.
Right. And although he didn't answer the questions I had, I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to order it. And it came in. And so after the show today, I'm going to hook it up. I don't think it does what I need it to do, but I might as well, because all these boxes that are sold as, you know, all-in-one podcasting or perfect for podcasting. No, they're not. They're missing things. They're good. They're good for someone who doesn't know what they're doing, but they're not great. And certainly not for live. You know, they have a lot of great features and they could update all of this stuff in software, I'm sure, but they don't. So anyway, I'm going to try this. I will have to start sending stuff back, of course. If it would surprise me if this Presonus outdid the Motu, because the Motu is just so jam-packed.
Are you
going to
start doing unboxings?
Let me think. No. I did the unboxing before.
Exactly. Okay, I got you.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting, the whole thing with why people don't send you stuff to review that's along this line is beyond me.
I understand. It's so obvious.
You're the audio guy.
It's so obvious. It's because that's not how it works. You send it to the people who are going to give you a good review because they're either paid by you or, you know, they find that the box is good enough. They know that I will be honest and that I will talk about it. I'm not going to sign NDAs and stuff. So this is okay. I mean, that's why I love talking about products, because we have no advertising. I'd say if I like it or not. And you know what? There's a new product I like from the same people who brought you CurioCaster, the ValueCaster. Did you see what he's done?
Oh, you're talking the thing with the list, the search?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful. And I can see we have 2,189 value-enabled podcasts.
Many of those coming from
our guest for today.
Our guest.
Yes, I think we shall bring him in. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0 from the promised land, the master of the hive, ladies and gentlemen, Sir Brian of London, a pal of the pod.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here.
Brian,
you got 45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes to give you your hive pitch, man. It's like, here we go. Now, before, actually, dude, you've really done something incredible against all odds, mainly against mockery and people laughing behind your back. I know you know we did it.
Yep.
You really, really.
Yep.
Yep.
Impressive. Yep.
You really did a super impressive thing with Hive enabling value for value. And, you know, I'm not quite sure exactly. I mean, I know it's all strung together and stuff, and you provide very detailed reports of your progress.
Yeah, which people like.
Oh, people love it. Oh, yes. It's the first thing I look at in the morning. Screw pod news. I'm going straight to Brian of London's Hive report.
Well, yes.
Tell us.
Podping was the gateway drug, you know? Podping was the podping was how I got you hooked.
Well, that brings up
proof that there was something useful there.
That brings up a good segue here into the interview that Podland had with Chris Messina on yesterday's show.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good interview. And I think all of us nerds like hearing about, you know, the old tech, but the way that these protocols came about and all that kind of stuff. We like that thing. But then he starts talking about WebSub and that kind of deal. And I think, obviously, to be fair to him, he was coming in cold. I mean, he obviously didn't understand all the details of what we've been doing here.
No. So, no. Yeah. I can't wait to give you my two cents on this.
Oh, okay.
I know him.
Oh, go. Well, give me your two cents right up front then.
I remember the whole Adam gang. These were mm-hmm. a bunch of assholes. Because, and if I recall, now, I was a hell of a lot less sophisticated. I'm sorry, Brian. We're just going to get right down to this. I think we should, all do this.
I was there at that time.
I know. A lot of people were around.
2005.
Right. So Weiner and I are, we're doing, we're doing the podcast. We're doing Trade Secrets, I think was the show. But all the while, you know, we were developing the podcast, the RSS 2.0 spec, I guess. I had no idea what I was doing. I was not sophisticated in programming any of this stuff. So this was my impression at the time. And it was it surrounded show notes, interestingly enough. I completely myself came up with show notes, the concept, and including it with a podcast and putting show notes into the feed. And there was a group of people who were like, hey, you know, we need to have there needs to be a tag, an item level tag in the feed for show notes. And Dave said no. And Dave said,
Dave said no about something?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it crazy?
I'm stunned.
And at that point, I really didn't have an opinion one way or the other. I was happy putting it just in the description, and it didn't really matter to me. I didn't see why there had to be. In hindsight, I understand much better why people might have been asking for that. But Dave said no, and of course, RSS is much more general than just podcasting. And he said you can always extend it with a namespace, and I held on to that, and of course, that has worked very favorably for the Podcasting 2.0 project. But then came the Atom guys, and they also approached me like, "Hey, man, you should be using Atom. Like, this sucks, and you know we could do so much more, and it's a lot richer, and Microsoft supports it." And they just seemed slimy, and they would, you know, the conversations would get heated and would get nasty, and so, you know, and then for a while there was a real push to get people to only put Atom feed links on their websites, and basically RSS won. I mean, it's just if there was ever a battle that RSS was involved in, it won. But the way that what's his name, Chris? Chris Messina. The way he was talking was like, well, you know, it, to me, it was sounded really patronizing. It's like, well, you know, what do these guys really know? I mean, they didn't really think it through, you know. And by the way, we did all this. Adam did all this. We had all those things arranged. I'm doing the voice that he doesn't have, but that's how it came across to me, you see. Okay, that was my two cents.
Yeah, Brian, input before I do my thing. I mean, I don't want to invite you into the boardroom and then just like, have a seminar here.
Well, the firstly, they haven't invited me on the show to actually tell them how Podping came about or how it works. So,
good point.
Perhaps that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sure it will.
But the genesis of Podping was just that one dev meeting where you were going to, you presented your sort of, can I say it, hideously overcomplicated replacement for WebSub.
That's fair.
You know, with the monster name, because you called it Hydra.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I just kept thinking, this is what we're doing in Hive. And I was like, we've got all these computers all over the world. They're doing a whole big social network thing. And they can just do this for breakfast. This is trivial because it's less than a bit, you know, there's a massive game that runs on Hive called Splinterlands. It's just taken off in a huge way now, actually. I think they've signed up their millionth player or something. And what we're doing with Podping is, you know, 0.16% of the traffic that they generate. And it just makes sense. And it's the first time I've been doing the whole blockchain thing for a couple of years, learning about it, using the cryptocurrencies and the Bitcoin and all of that. But I was also like hugely skeptical. Every time someone said to me, oh, you can use a blockchain for that. Generally you couldn't. And I'm so pleased and proud that Podping is this kind of other use for a blockchain. It's not money. It's not exchange of tokens. It's not NFTs or whatever they are. But it is a use that we can't think of a better way of doing it right now.
Well, you know, that's a really good way to say it, because what I was hearing, I'll give my opinion on the Atom thing first, because Atom and RSS, you know, the Atom did solve a problem. I'm very much resisting the urge to say a better format, because I think that word is just not accurate. It's loaded. It's just not fair. But so the difference to me, the main difference between Atom and RSS is that Atom is more opinionated about the basics, in a way that gives you a spec that is easier to consume in a sane way. And I'll give you some specific reasons for that. One of the biggest weaknesses of RSS 2.0, and I'm talking about this purely from a consumer, from an aggregator standpoint. One of RSS's 2.0's biggest weaknesses is that it does not specify clearly enough what the required, excuse me, it's not the spec, it does not have enough required base level tags. So, you know, just looking at the spec itself, so for an episode, okay, in the spec it says, at the item level, all elements of an item are optional. However, at least one of title or description must be present. So you can literally have an RSS 2.0 item block.
Yeah.
That only has a title in it.
Yeah.
That's the only element.
And I know why he did that. Because he understood Twitter before Twitter was Twitter.
The problem, though, is you can't track that.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying it was right, but I know why he did it.
Yeah, so you can't, like, imagine a feed. Imagine an RSS feed that has 3,000 items in it, all of which have only a title.
Yeah, no GUID, no link, nothing unique, right.
And every title is exactly the same string of text.
Right.
You can't, that's untrackable. You don't know if somebody deletes 1,000 of them, which 1,000 do you delete? I mean, like, you have no idea what that's part of the issue with RSS. And so that's when with Atom, you get more sane base level, tag requirements that allow consumers of the feed to handle it properly. And so that to me, like this whole thing of RSS 2.0, this lack of base level required tags, has been just a fight for 10
forever,
years.
Forever. I've heard it so many times.
Yeah. And so, what I think with Chris, when he's looking, he thinks, talking about web sub, you know, he, to him, and this, I think a lot of people are like this in the spec world. It's like, oh, well, there's already a spec for that.
Right. Right.
But, you know, sometimes the spec doesn't fit the use case.
Or doesn't take off for whatever reason.
Yeah. Now, web sub has, you could, I don't know if you could say that it's taken off. A lot of people use it, but the problem with web sub, and I've got, I know I've said this a million times, the problem with web sub,
resubscribing.
Yes. For podcast, it is the problem with web sub is scale. Web sub cannot scale in a way that doesn't make a lot of things fall down. It's the scale on paper. Web sub looks like a great protocol, and it is a great protocol. It's a great spec, but if you're talking about subscribing to 5,000 feeds, it works perfectly. Or even 25,000 feeds, it works perfectly. When you're talking about subscribing to 2 million feeds, it just becomes a shit show.
Mm. And it only works perfectly because Google is in the middle providing the massive lift. And, mm-hmm. and that's one of the bits that scared me about it. Because, I've come from a background. I got into crypto when I got banned from Facebook. There's no point going into why I was personally banned.
What do you mean there's no point in?
No, Dave, don't encourage him. There's no point.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. No, I can tell you. All right. So I was running a Facebook.
Yeah, yes.
Jeez. Wait. One of pre-boost.
Boost. Okay. Please. Yeah, boost this. I was running one of the biggest political Facebook pages in the UK. We had more than 1 million followers on, you know, with the silly numbers that Facebook give you. And the guy who I was running it for is controversial. Let's just put it that way. And we put out a video that attacked the BBC, that showed the BBC to be doing some very, very bad things. And 24 hours later, with a press release, Facebook deleted the page, deleted all, you know, all access to all the followers. And obviously, they deleted the personal pages of all of the people who had ever been admins on the page, which took out my page, and it was gone. Whoosh, whoosh. And they actually told the press that it was because the page had called for the beheading of people, which we had never done, and there was no screenshot. And Facebook can get away with that. And they told it to the Daily Mail before they even cancelled the page. So I saw the Daily Mail headline, and then only about 20 minutes later did the page disappear.
So that's when you show up to work and the door's locked, and then you read in the news that they shut the place down.
Or the school burned down.
Yeah.
All right, so you got kicked off.
Following that, I really got the message. You cannot rely on any of these platforms. So anything like, as soon as I see Google in the middle of it, or Amazon, or Facebook, or WhatsApp, or any of these people, it's like I run 1 million miles. And, I know we all joke how many times I'm going to say Hive, take a drink, but Hive is something weirdly different because there's no company. And that, I think going forward, you know, if we're going to look at advertising as censorship, well, you know, the weak spot of all media is going to be anybody who has a masthead, anybody who's got an LLC, a sign on the door, a place where the FBI can turn up with sledgehammers one morning and steal the computers from you.
That, I think that you make a really good point about Google sort of being the thing that props up web sub, the whole web sub ecosystem right now. I don't think I think that is a critical point, because imagine that you have a really fairly popular podcast, and let's just say you're running it on your web, on your PowerPress, your web, WordPress server. And you know, it's got a PowerPress has web sub baked into it. Let's say that you get, you go from, 300 subscribers to, let's just say 250,000. So now your WordPress box has to send web sub subscriptions for 250,000 subscribers. That's not going to happen. you know, and you can't cache it. You can't cache it. It's got to be live. It's got to be reachable. It's just, that's what I'm saying. It's the scale. The scale, it makes that protocol untenable.
If anyone is interested in what we're talking about, Podping can be watched at podping.watch. It is fascinating to see every, gosh, I guess it's every 10 seconds, right, with the block updates. You just see
three.
That.
Three seconds.
Well, it seems like, okay, 3 second block. Well, then I'm getting something. Here we go. Boom. Another one. It's about 10 seconds in between. And it's just a fantastic view of podcasts that have been updated. Now, is this purely from the external pings? Or are we doing internals now as well? Or where are we at? What is this showing me? Is this only showing people who are
purely external?
Purely external. And so we still don't have Anchor participating, obviously.
The host that I want to get on Podping the most, Libsyn. I think Brian would agree. Yes, Libsyn, definitely Libsyn.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Libsyn? Sorry,
Libsyn, yeah, save the world.
No,
because the energy, you know, that's the other thing. And I am not a greenie, though. I drove an electric car 5 years ago.
It was another scam of yours with these damn replaceable batteries. Another failed venture, Brian.
It was cool, though. It was cool. And I tell you what, I met.
But now you're in the paddleboard game, so that's
good. Exactly.
Now I sell paddleboards. Yeah. And all that stuff. But it's censorship. I'm trying to get around censorship always. So how can we censor Hive? The truth is, we can't stop anybody pod pinging. We can choose whose pod pings to ignore.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. Yeah, that's the beauty of the filter.
But it's permissionless. It's permissionless.
Yeah, anyone can jump in.
The software and go.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It is truly a thing of beauty.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Libsyn would get on board, I would love to have Acast on board. Those guys.
Well, Stacey's over there now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's over there.
She'll make it happen.
There's about SoundCloud. Oh God, I would love to have SoundCloud doing Podping, because they're a pain in the butt to do anything with, really. Does SoundCloud? Does anybody even know anybody that works at SoundCloud? Is it one of the? Is it just a black box, or does
they were bought a long time ago? Who bought them? I forgot who bought them. And that's when they announced they were doing RSS feeds. But they're always going to kind of be the thing where you put your music up and people comment on it. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, Brian, talk about the Rube Goldberg machine that is the Hive to Lightning Gate.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let me get ready for you, Brian.
I need Adam Curry to press his I've got Hive power button.
Do we have this? Do I have a jingle that is just that?
You can do it live. Do it live.
Of course I can do it. I just thought I had that scream.
I should have had that.
I've got Hive power! There you go.
No, that's right. A good one.
Yeah. Okay, so what I put in place, you know, at first, I looked at the Lightning and I thought, what is this? Lightning is the Rube Goldberg machine, because I can send.
Yes, that's not true.
Yeah. But I've been able to send any amount of Hive that I want, which, you know, some of it's even denominated in US dollars. I can send it anywhere in the world without worrying about having how many channels I've got open and where the beads are on the abacus. I mean, really, I don't have to think about my abacus.
Oh, man, I'm letting you go, Brian. Go ahead, man. We can take it. We can take a few more hits. It's good. You hit us with that. Come on, anyway, come on, man. Bring it.
No. You're going to like the payback. But I did, after looking at it really carefully, because that's the point, is that you can't dismiss these technologies that so many people have worked on for so long. You're not doing yourself a service if you just dismiss them out of hand. So by looking at it closely, I realized it can do something which Hive really can't do, and which very few other cryptos have managed, which is this spinning up of anonymous small wallets really easily. Forget whether they're custodial or non-custodial. It doesn't matter. You get a thing on your phone and you have 20,000 sats in it, which is an amount of money that anybody with a $1,000 iPhone doesn't care about. Okay. You know, if you're caring about a 20,000 sats on your iPhone, you shouldn't be holding the iPhone.
Right.
And
yeah, that's a good point.
we all, but having these little wallets that you can make these micropayments out of, that's cool. And they're anonymous. Which
that's a good point. You know? I never thought that is a USP for Lightning, but I see exactly what you're saying. I guess so.
Because one of the costs within Hive carries quite a high cost to create an account, because you've got to have, and I mean an internal sort of cost. It's mostly hidden from the users.
Wait, I know what you need.
Yeah,
you need Hive power.
You actually do. Yeah. You do, and I've got enough.
I know. I know now.
But that's always been the onboarding problem for Hive. So this thing of having all what you've built so far with the value for value, with apps able to have wallets with small amounts, you know, with pocket money in them, and to just send that out, that works really well. But on the receiving side is where I think Hive brings something new to the party, because, you know, once I got my own little Raspberry Pi Umbral node running and stuff, and I went through, like, it took me more than 10 days to synchronize it. It's better now. That is, you know, that's not going to happen. I know you dream of everybody having their own node, Adam, but it's really unlikely.
You really don't know me, Brian. I've really given up on that dream.
Okay, I know.
I know. I know what will happen eventually, but it's going to be a while.
I mean, I'm just really proud that when I told my kid yesterday that the day before that Twitch had been hacked, and I said he needs to change his password, he wrote back and said, "I already know," and his password is in 1Password. So I'm teaching my kids well, but the rest of my family, they haven't got a clue what password safety is. They're all using the same passwords on everything. And these people are not going to be running their own Lightning nodes. So for that, and Hive is not perfect, but it is a lot easier to receive stuff, because you can go to bed at night without a computer in your house running, and you can just receive Hive. So what I've built is just that little bridge. It takes some Lightning that arrives on my node, and I immediately pay it out as Hive. And that works. I've got a lot of work to do on scaling, but it works for now.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, one of the things that makes me sort of... one thing that makes me happy about this whole thing is the three-speak stuff.
Yeah.
Because that is truly an onboard... Like, you can...
Massive onboarding. Yeah, massive. Are people aware?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what's being built.
Seems like we need to help with some marketing or something.
Yeah. This is part of it.
We don't need to help anybody with marketing, by the way.
Shut up. Hey, you know, I'm the podfather. I can appear.
Yeah.
And call people ugly.
Behind the scenes, 3Speak are doing a huge amount of work on back-end stuff, which is to make... which is to incentivize mass storage and a kind of content delivery network. And they're going to build a token system it's really clever, but they're really focused on that. But I have got a little bit of resources with them to just turn them into what I think they can be immediately, which is the first video podcast host.
Yes.
In years.
Yes.
Because nobody's done it. YouTube used to be, and I remember the earliest days of YouTube. I put up a video of Ann Coulter that got millions of hits, you know, stolen from the BBC, of course. It used to have RSS feeds for your videos.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
And I've put RSS feeds into 3Speak. Now, the bit that's just on the verge of being published is a back end, which will it's really simple. All it will do is let the channel owners set the podcast title, the description, and, you know, an iTunes Apple compliant. And people there don't understand why I'm going so nuts to say it has to be Apple compliant.
Hey, here's a question. Weird question. So what if someone posts a new, since you're in Hiveland anyway, someone posts a new video on 3Speak, shouldn't it just basically hit Podping and Podping will go, oh, fuck, I don't have you. You're now in the database. That's how it works.
It does. Yeah, yeah. Right now, nice. I've got a Lenovo T530 laptop.
Oh, stop trying to impress me. Stop trying to impress me.
It's running Ubuntu and it just sits at my parents' house and it watches the Hive blockchain. Every time it sees a new post by ThreeSpeak, it turns it into a Podping. So that's the. Because we tried to find in the source code, it was easier to
now,
do
is this way, a? Anyway. Do you think this is a good long-term permanent solution?
Yeah.
I'm just asking, because well, the thing is, Brian, I have to say, I'm fucking with you because you are exactly like me in that regard. Dave can attest to it. I'm exactly that way. I got a laptop and it's running and it's bridging this, but it can't be unplugged because the battery dies in 10 seconds. You're like me. So I'm laughing with you at myself. Believe me.
I absolutely know. And listen, my first computer was the ZX81. I think you started on the ZX80.
80. Yeah. The 80. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, see, that's why yours is white.
Yes, that's why you guys correct. Have handlers. That's why you have handlers. I'm Adam's handler. That's Alex right. Gates is your handler. He's mine, yeah. You have to have chaperones.
We do. It's completely true. Escort me through it, Dave.
That's but right.
It, you know what?
So what we need is we built. So now, but now we need. I mean, so the missing link.
No, I'll tell you.
Is we're not. Here's what we really need. If I can just say it, it'll be easy. And you could sink your teeth into this, Brian. You could do this. Are you ready? You want me to tell you what you should be doing? You, cool. Sir Brian of London in Israel, you should be building the ThreeSpeak video app. And
I'm doing it.
Okay. And it was great having you on the show.
But,
thanks
but it's
for coming.
But it's got to run. It can't be running on a Lenovo laptop.
No. It has to be. And anyone will jump in to help. But we need just make a web app. Don't fuck around with anything else.
No, but this is the beauty of what you've built so far. We don't need it because the Apple. This is why. Let's get back to why I'm going nuts making them all comply with Apple's podcast requirements. It's because our video app is the podcast app in Apple, which is unblockable. It's not going to be taken off the iPhone store. and it's going to be every one of the it's going to be every one of the podcasting 2.0 apps. I want everything everywhere. So
if I can just make a recommendation. People have been trained to interact with video differently. And I'm always surprised when I hear someone say, and particularly around here, you know, a lot of people very sick and tired of Silicon Valley. I don't watch the YouTube anymore. I watch BitChute. So and they're using BitChute to, you know, look at other things and surf around. And to them, that is not a podcast app. And podcasting is a whole different app, even though it could be all the same thing. I believe that will happen. But if there was one dedicated app that only showed ThreeSpeak.tv and had a wallet in there and had a whole front-to-back mechanism, I think it would be fucking killer. And that would take people to ThreeSpeak.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, I'm with you. And it's a matter of the ocean that we're trying to boil here. And
no, you're not listening to me. You just need to follow my commands.
I tell you, ThreeSpeak has got, you know, that they're working in the different direction, which is to incentivize back-end storage, because that's the other part. We're all looking, the guys at ThreeSpeak, the guys at Hive, they're looking, how do we stop people being taken off the web?
Right.
And at the moment, you know, you latched onto IPFS quite early, but it's a catastrophe.
If it was meant to be, we would have done it because it's been in the Freedom Controller for years. It just never, it never, and this, we've seen the failures with the index download. It's just a lot of parts that can mess up. And quite honestly, I think, you know, we're really, IPFS is really the, you know, the NFT infrastructure of choice, and that's really what they're focused on, and you know, and they're nice guys and everything who are doing all that, but I understand they're focused on that.
DHTs in general are just too slow and finicky for this stuff.
Well, I've got some confidence in what they're building, but there's no point me go, you know, I'm not the expert in what they're building out, but the goal here, the goal is always decentralized, but not crazy decentralized. So we're never going to store video on a blockchain. That's ridiculous. We know that, but we're going to store all the indexing information on the Hive blockchain at the moment to tell you where to find stuff. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense. And it's a part of IPFS that doesn't work well today. And the other part of IPFS that's just not there is incentivizing. And for that, that's another part that blockchains bring, because you can do these micropayments. You can reward people for storing video of other people's. And the point is to build these communities, as you call them, tribes. And that then becomes powerful. If you can get self-incentivizing communities that really run around a creator or a group of creators, that's the direction they're going in. And I'm bolting this value for value stuff on the side, but it's become very, very popular. And a lot of people on Hive are watching what I'm building and want to help and are helping.
IPFS, it's great. It would be fine for the enclosure, like for storage. It's just that some people are trying to deliver like the feed itself and that kind of thing over IPFS. I think that takes it too far. It's great for distributing, big data, big blobs of data, but it's not a robust, fast solution for some of these things. It just falls down. That's the thing about, that's another thing about blockchain technology is something that's relatively new. And so back when a lot of these protocols were developed, things like PubSub, HubHub, and a lot of these older protocols, old doesn't equal bad. The only problem with old is that sometimes it gets supplanted by a new thing for a use case that's just better. And so blockchains, they have a limited use, but for the things that they're good at, wow, they're really, really good at that thing. And it's hard to even compete with how good they are at that thing. And blockchains didn't, for all intents and purposes, didn't exist in the world in a usable way back when things like PubSub, HubHub and those things were developed. So, I mean, sometimes, yeah, I'm a big proponent. I mean, we're extending RSS. I mean, I'm a big proponent of the old does not equal bad. And you take something that works and it works well, and even if it's 20 years old, you just improve it and keep on going forward, because it's stupid to try to reinvent the wheel. But there are certainly circumstances, and I think things like the Hive blockchain that are fast app centric blockchains, public blockchains, that those things can solve some problems that are very difficult to solve in other ways. And I think in those instances, it makes a lot of sense to take an older protocol and just push it to the side and replace it with something new that is native to that new technology. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, the RSS thing, everything we're doing with podcasting is original internet. It's pre-Facebook. It's pre-Google, largely. It's not pre-Google, but pre the massive commercialization of the internet. And that's so important. And what I like about Hive in particular, which is not out there in all the other projects, it really isn't, is this thing of not being able to point at the owner, not even be able to point at the creator. The creators have all left. We've got this group where nobody can say, I don't think there's a single owner over 3% that's known. And that token distribution thing is very important for this to stop censorship. As soon as you have a critical, if you've got one person who, what happens when Vitalik, when he comes under pressure? We don't know. And we don't know what happens when the Ethereum Foundation comes under pressure. I hope Lightning avoids that, but things like Strike worry me, because they can become too large, and then they become a critical point at which pressure can be applied. You know, if so much of the liquidity is moving around on Strike, are we getting too technical and deep?
Well, not at all. And I think we're in complete agreement with you. And every single piece, every single custodial solution, of course, there's all kinds of issues. But look at what we're talking about now, right here. We are talking, I mean, if you just step back for a second, we're a bunch of Goombas. And we're talking about, you know, how we're using the currencies that we are intimately involved in. We're not talking about money. We're talking about something on a whole different plane. And I'm not quite sure how to verbalize this, but it's really, we are in an incredibly beautiful place right now when these are the issues. It's like, how do we make our money work with your money? This is fucking cool. Yeah. It's a great time to be a podcaster.
I mean, I know running everything on a laptop behind me is not tenable. And that's why I put in a grant application on the Decentralized Hive Fund and I was awarded it. And actually the bit that I really need the money for is that I don't want to be running the only Hive to Lightning Bridge. Right. I do not want that, because at some point the Israeli tax authorities will show up here and ask, right now.
No, you're totally going to jail. I mean, we know that you're going.
Actually, they rounded up 26 people here this week for a real scam, you know, proper. Exactly.
Yeah, they're at the door.
Hey, so do you want to go on record right now, just in public?
Not suicidal. I think that would probably be good.
Yeah. And okay. I do not like hot tubs, and I have nothing to do with general aviation.
Small aircraft, general aviation, hot tubs. Do not go canoeing anywhere. This is also deemed to be very unhealthy. Lesson. Yes.
I have a yachting lesson booked for Sunday.
Oh, no.
No, you're a goner.
All right. All right. Hey, listen, can we talk to your wife about running the Lenovo?
Yeah.
Don't close the lid. It'll go to standby mode.
The point is, I'm going to decentralize this. The whole point is, I want to write code that I can put on GitHub, and anybody can run one of these gateways. And then Hive will route the payments and sort of share them out amongst different people. And that's decentralized.
Very cool. Yeah. Let me check, Brian. You are your node, because you have two Lightning nodes, I see here. You have, I see a v4v.app and the pay.v4v.app Hive something.
The one you need to use is actually, I've put up a GitHub page with my value block. So I'll have to send that to you. That's the one to put in.
For the split.
Is it the 03966?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know your public ID by heart?
It's like knowing the first 60 characters of Pi.
Because my Hive username is Brian of London, which you can type.
Yeah, so but when you type in Brian of London, you immediately get Brian of London Hair Salon, Texas.
Yeah, and apart aware from of the this? One in Texas. Yes, I am. He got there before me. You know, my Brian of London name came when I was taken by surprise by a lesbian. It's a law, you know. It was.
Excuse
me? I did a radio interview. I was doing a radio.
Hold on a second. I think it's okay. We had 45 minutes of Hive. Now equal airtime. 45 minutes for the lesbian story. The Brian of London.
Taken by surprise.
How he was taken by surprise and how he got his name. And go.
So I was in America for a conference, and it was a political thing. And one of the people at the conference was a radio host called Tammy Bruce.
Oh, yes. And I love Tammy Bruce. She's great.
She is great. And
I can't wait to hear what happened with Tammy Bruce. she's also a very attractive woman, I should say. A very attractive woman.
And very lesbian. Anyway,
lesbian, yes.
I didn't know that. But she was on a panel, and the panel was discussing censorship in Europe. And it was discussing, I can't even remember what, but I asked a question from the audience, and she thought it was a good question. Because then afterwards she came up and she said, I'm doing my radio show from the hotel later. Do you want to come on it? And I had no idea who she was. I mean, you know, I also didn't, at that time, it was like I don't know, 2004 or something, I didn't kind of get talk radio and the scale of it. So I go up to one of the rooms in the hotel, and she...
And she has a pretty big radio show, actually. She's got quite a lot.
Well, this was the point. I sat down in the chair, and I thought, you know, this is going out to 10,000 people, whatever. And just as the light is about to go on, she says to me, so what should I call you? And I had my real name, and there was no way I could use my real name and talk about what I was going to talk about. If it got back to the UK, problem with jobs and all that sort of stuff. So I said, Brian, which is my middle name. I'm out now. My identity is revealed. I said, Brian. And she introduced me as Brian of London.
Oh, and I just thought, yeah,
that's my blogging name.
Very cool.
And then we got exactly as you rile against, you know, we got up against a hard break. And she said, this is really interesting. Stay for another segment.
Were you talking about Hive?
No, we were.
And she said, this is really interesting? Oh, my God.
Yeah. We were talking about David Irving being arrested in Austria for Holocaust denial. Oh,
okay. Got it.
Speech issues.
Oh, she loves that stuff. Yeah, she loves that.
So, and then I made the mistake just before the light went on again. I said, so how many people are listening? She said, oh, no, it's the weekend show. It's not very many. Maybe 1.5 million tops. Yeah. And I suddenly, oh my God. But anyway, it was actually after that experience that I started getting into blogging and eventually into podcasting. And
oh, well, hold on a second. So the lesbian part was really just, it was a little bit of a jip story, but okay.
Yeah, like I could have said a lesbian with a gun, because at the time she was branding herself as a Democrat lesbian with a gun, but I think she's given up on the Democrat bit.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't remember her, the Democrat lesbian with a gun.
Go back far enough.
I'll say she's doing more for women than most women. She mentors a lot of women in news and is making sure they don't get screwed over. She's good. I like her. She's good people.
I like her. I've always followed her and like what she does. But that was my introduction to sort of speaking live, and it was a drug. I enjoyed it.
Ah, yes. He's hooked. That's what it is.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Shall we thank some people, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We got, I've got make goods.
Make goods?
I screwed up Kyron Down's donation from last week because I only was able to find like... He had marked them like 1 of 4 through 4 of 4, and I was only able to read 3 and 4 because... I forgot that I had my sheets printed. I forgot they were double sided. So,
Yes. And by the way, I noticed maybe 2 days ago or 3 days ago. You know, the first thing. Now, here's what I do in the morning, everybody. The phone is on. It's not the first thing I do. When I look at the phone, I always go to Zeus Wallet to make sure that the wheel is still spinning. So if I don't see a Satoshi is coming at least within the last minute or two, then it's time to troubleshoot.
Channel rebalance.
And the next thing I do is I open up Zeus because I like the way it looks, and I look at our channels. And I saw someone blew a wad through one of our channels.
No, we're getting there.
Okay. I saw a total wad blown through.
Yes. There was wad blowage, and it's it's coming.
Wad blowage.
It's in Brian's abacus parlance, somebody took the abacus and just turned it up in portrait mode, flung everything to one side. Kyron, so I'm gonna make good from last week. Kyron Down sent 25,000 sats.
Oh, nice, man. Thank you.
He says, as I received 4 stunning Boostergram lounge intros, I'm compelled to return with 4 Boostergram appreciations. Thank you, Adam. Truly next level.
Wow.
See, but then he had another one. He had 2 of 4, another 25,000 sats. And he said, I'd really like to give a special shout out to Satoshi Stream for everything they have created.
Yes.
I don't hear them get mentioned too often, but without them, I wouldn't be here right now.
Boost!
I've just now completed the final value loop of withdrawing from the node to reinvest back into the Boostergram economy. Without them, I wouldn't have a chance in hell of participating in this world due to my lack of coding and technical knowledge. I honestly feel guilty they took such a small cut, only 6,000 sats out of 166,000 I withdrew. What is that? They take 5%?
Yes, they do. And they take 5% and they give one of those to us.
Golly, man.
Yeah, no, there's, and thank you. That's a very good point. Satoshi Stream, Satoshi.Satoshi's.Stream was in the game so early with the TLV notes, but also the whole concept, which is a little bit beyond me. I am somewhat Gen Xer-ish in that way. It's like Telegram, I got it. I can use it. I do use it. It's not my thing. I don't interact with bots. I haven't set up my... for me, the clue is I haven't set up my Raspy Blitz with a Telegram bot. So I know that, it's like, I'm not into it. But
Boomer.
But what they've done and how it functions and how it works and is one of the most impressive onboarding systems I have seen. And I think it's a humongous service, positive service to have. People can stay with them forever, or they can use it as just training wheels. I think the beauty part of it is because you're already in the Telegram world, there's help right there. You know, if something's not happening, and that is, you're absolutely right, Kyron. Not mentioned often enough.
Yeah, he says, really feel they should be better known as the Boostergrams are what has really drawn me in as a podcaster. Yep.
Right on.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Thanks, Kyron. See, and also during the show last week that I had pulled up on my screen and then it got overlapped with my clip window. I forgot to say it, but during the show, Alex Gates sent 16,384 sats and he said, how do you like this live Boostergram? So,
well, we love it. We love it. A week later, it's even better. Tastes just as good.
I saw it come in and then I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to read it live. And then I forgot.
Man, no, I stayed with the former New York banker. I went down Monday night and we had some dinner, stayed at his house. It was the first time since we're now separated, he stayed at our house and I stayed at his house. You know, it's kind of, it's a thing.
And, you get custody of the kids once a month.
Yeah, we took his son to school in the morning, and then we did. And then we went on the boat. We go wake surfing. It's very privileged thing we're doing here on Tuesday morning on the lake. But man, he hates Bitcoin. He hasn't even said that anymore. Lightning and how it works and the idea of the Boostergrams and, what we're going to be doing with the live. He actually was like, hey, how many partners in that company? I said, dude, no. I love you, man. Partners. No. Yeah, no, this is not how it works. This is not, it's like, no. Just the best way you can help is to boost. So get your big money out there and hit us with a boost.
Sir Spencer hit us with a boost, 4,200 sats. And he said, awesome appearance on Hog Story, Adam.
Thank
sending
you.
Sending a boost here until we get the hogs fully noted and receiving boosts. We're working on them. Sir Spencer and Dame DeLorean, bowl after bowl.
Yeah, someone should at least be able to get them hooked up with Satoshi streams, just to... No, you don't have to be fully noted. You can always change. You can always change your node ID.
Yeah, that
and there's always the Hive option.
There's a Hive option.
You get a Hive account. You sign up with me, and Hive does the same thing. I mean, the money goes straight in as Hive, and there are ways to convert it. So it's another option. It'll be more.
The conversion also happens with Brian. You see, it's very interesting. He'll convert it for you.
Mm-hmm. You can convert it, or you can power it up.
You can power it up.
And then you can do fundraiser.
Yep.
Have you looked at how much the Hive you bought is now worth, Dave?
No, I haven't.
I think it's more than tripled since you bought it.
No, I'm a millionaire now. I quit this show right now.
The Lambo is on its way.
The Lambo, yes.
Onward. Let's see.
Oscar Mary. He sent 7,777 sats.
Sack of sevens.
Sack of sevens. And he says, how much do I have to boost to get Adam to do a promo for Fountain in the Overlord voice? The Overlord. Oh, that's the God. Well, you ditched it. You don't have it anymore.
Well, no, there's good news because I am testing out the Personas Revelator IO 24 today. And it has a God voice in it. So what, and I'll have it for a few days because I'm sure it's going to go back, but it's worth trying. It does have the God voice in it. So, send me some copy, man. Tell me what you want me to say.
Well, he's got it right here. Oh, he's got his copy here. He says, ditch Apple Podcasts, ditch Spotify, listen on Fountain, something like that.
All right. Forward that to me. That's cool. Okay. I'll do it. Yeah. Right. Of course. I'll do a commercial for anybody.
Let's see who else we anonymous through Breeze, 1776 SAS, 1776.
Hello, Liberty, numerology. Yes.
Liberty Boost.
Mm-hmm. Liberty go, Boost.
Yeah, go. He says, go podcasting, anonymous.
Yeah, viva la podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Okay, so this is a response to this ongoing back and forth between Bill Prague and I forgot who he's conversing with, but he says, here it is, Daniel, between Daniel N and Bill Prague. I endorse this use of boostergrams to fight each other with money.
Yes, a duel.
On our show.
Yes. This is, we love fights.
Yes, we just need to get the boost amounts higher, though.
You're monetizing hate. You're terrible.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Call the ADL, Brian. You got him on speed dial.
We need to get
that's a good line.
More of this.
That's a good line. We are. Let's just do it. Just do it properly. I think Brian is absolutely correct. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to monetize hate.
Daniel, thanks for the lightning education. Stick and tongue out.
Ooh,
emoji. That was the thanks for the lightning education was in quotes. So you know it's
snarky.
Bill is one of my Hive people because he's been buying sats on from my Hive gateway and he's been streaming sats across the Hive network as well. So I can
see there's going to be a need pretty soon for us to have address books because if I'm going to send a nasty boost through a show, it'd be fun to send the same boostergram to that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like the idea of a general purpose, lightning node alias address book lookup thing.
Oh.
That's what I put in place with this new.
Of course. It's already working on Hive.
Yep. Exactly.
LDAP.
All you need is a Chrome extension.
LDAP. Hey, LDAP.
And a lightning, and a Litecoin exchange.
Oh God.
Dreb Scott. Okay, so here's your wad here. Dreb Scott, 350,000 sats.
What?
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Boost. Wow, a true sat streamer.
Sat streamer.
Wow.
Dreb Scott is a great American hero.
Yes, he is. A patriot. What did he say? What was his message? His boostergram?
It came through CurioCaster. Mm-hmm. And the boostergram just says, he just says, boostergram challenge accepted. Boost.
Oh, man. That is badass. That's like a few words. Gangsta. And by the way, we have that baller thing is not in your package. That is a MoFax jingle. I'm already illegally using it here. The boostergram bits package is in the show notes for today.
So Dreb Scott is now on the leaderboard in the top of the
out of control. Dreb, now of course it's fun because Dreb does the chapters for pretty much everything I've ever done in my life. He is now he has gone back. Now check this out, what the man has done. He has gone back and added chapters in the RSS feed retroactively for every single MoFax, and he's going to do it for every podcasting 2.0 so that we have all of those elements working that we didn't have the authoring tools for at the time. This is the kind of guy he is. That's a lot of work.
Stop. Don't do daily source code, Dreb.
No.
Please set yourself a limit.
No, okay. That's not going to happen. Thank you, Dreb.
God, that's ridiculous.
Not only that, but proof.
Yeah. We're stress testing.
We are totally stress testing that. That is unbelievable.
Well, Aerostatica sent, he had sent 250,000.
Yes, this is the war. This is the race. This is the mano a mano that's happening here.
And
you know, if we keep going up by 100,000 each time, 100,000 sats each time, something's going to break. So
eventually we're going to reach some kind of limit.
Yeah, Brian's laptop's going to catch on fire in his parents' basement. okay, thank you, Dreb. Spam, let's see. This is anonymous because this is just like a weird spam protection email address here. They came through Podfriend, and it says, you guys got me hooked on everything podcasting 2.0, Bitcoin, Lightning, and Umbral. Great work.
All right.
And that was 100 sats.
Nice to see that. I get emails from PR firms and publicists who, of course, buy lists of podcasts that that you know can interview their guests. And mm-hmm. and I think I posted this on noagendasocial.com is that now we're seeing in these messages, you know, this guest can be heard everywhere, you know, on podcasts, Podcast Index, Podfriend was in there. You know,
oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
So we're starting to, you know, it's starting to trickle out, you know, when people are mentioning new apps that haven't been mentioned before, it's working. Newpodcastapps.com. Be like James Cridlin. Tell people to get a better podcast app at newpodcastapps.com.
Yeah, that's a good little thing he does.
It's a great line.
Yeah. Who we got here? We got, another anonymous through Breeze. App for 1,000 sats and just says go podcasting.
Yeah, I hear you. We should go podcasting. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Another Liberty Boost of 1776 says started out with a boost, baby. And that came through. Who did that come through? Hold Breeze. That came through Breeze.
I just want to check something here. Hold on.
Baller.
No. I'm just finding more ballers.
You know who that is?
Yes, I know exactly who that is. I think it's your clip.
Yeah, but do you remember who said it?
Yeah, of course. Michelle Obama. Yes, yeah. Mike.
Baller.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Who else? Okay, Jeff says, this is 4,004 sats through the Fountain app. He says, this is the initial donation to the Dave Jones Melatonin Fund. That's because I couldn't sleep last night. Okay. There's actually two boosts from Jeff for 4,004 sats.
Wow, thanks, Jeff.
With the same message. So I'm guessing he may have held down the machine gun boost button.
And as a quick aside, this is so appreciated. This all goes into funding our liquidity as well of the node. I mean, this is so cool
that we
can now open up bigger channels. The system is beautiful. Thank you for doing this. These boosts are great.
Let's see, we got Chad Farrow sent us 3,333 sats.
Mm-hmm.
He says through Fountain, he says set my sats to 5 minutes. Excuse me, 5 sats per minute instead of 50 sats per minute. So this is to make up the difference. Oh, well, that was nice of you.
Was he fat fingered it?
Yeah, nobody's mm-hmm. auditing you, Chad, mm-hmm. so you don't have to make up. Yeah, we won't know.
No, we
thank
won't.
You, brother. Podfriend. An anonymous through Podfriend, and that's for 5,217 sats. And he says, Fauci poop boost.
Okay.
Boost.
We got the Fauci poop boost.
Who is this? Oh, Sir Bill through Fountain sent us 1,000 sats, and he says, boost using Fountain. So, yep, that's exactly what you did.
Boost!
Boostagram.
10,000 sats from Breeze Anonymous, and it just says love from Breeze. I'm thinking that's Roy. You think that's Roy?
I don't know, man.
He says love from Breeze.
I mean, every time I've been with Roy, I've been paying for everything, so I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, those Israel guys.
I know. Hey, but I got Brian of London. I can send him down the street and go beat him up.
Wait, you pay for Roy's dinner. And then Brian will reimburse him in Hive, and then Roy will and pay wait, him
and then,
back.
And then repay through Bit Refill.
Bit Refill with an Amazon gift card.
2 days ago, I was actually in the exact street, I think, where his offices are in Ramat HaKhayal, but I was having a camera stuck up my ass, so...
That's
cool. How many sats does that cost?
Oh, none.
I
I'll do that for free.
What part of town is that? Dave's office is in a really weird part of town, man.
There's a hospital. There's a big famous hospital right in the middle of it.
Yeah, for this, for extraction. Yeah. This is the red light district of
those Breeze guys, man. They interface with everything.
Yeah, I've heard of gerbils and stuff, but cameras?
Cameras and
oh, man. Okay, so he's the Richard Gere of
Okay, Dave. All right. All right. Oh, woo.
Right.
Yeah.
907 sats from through PodFriend from Mike Newman. And Mike says, only thing worse than USB is Bluetooth. Go podcasting.
Yeah, that's true.
Go podcasting!
I did try out the I never got to that in my review. I tried out the Bluetooth interface on the Tascam Mixcast 4. And
that would suck.
Yeah, well, for a reason that was disappointing, because I thought I could use that interface. It's like, I'll just route all computer noises, you know, so if I need to play a YouTube clip or something, just route it out through Bluetooth. So two problems. One, when there's no sound active, of course, it disconnects. Now, I don't know if that was my laptop or the other side, probably the laptop. And I didn't dive in to troubleshoot that. Please don't email me. But the worst part was it defaults and only has a 16 kilohertz bandwidth. Well, that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is so old-fashioned to think of a phone like a phone. That's, you know, it's like when you think Bluetooth doesn't have to be 16 kilohertz. There's no reason for it. But they're thinking,
that's like two tin cans with string in between.
And they're thinking, oh, well, it's just a phone. No, man, phones these days are high-end devices.
Voice over IP?
You know, you can use CleanFeed on your phone. Just it's amazing.
Is it an app or is it through the browser?
No, just through the browser.
Oh, that's messed up.
It's really cool. Yeah, it's cool. Yep.
We'll see. Anonymous through the Breeze app gave us 1,000 sats. Oh, it's not anonymous. Well, it's not anonymous. He says David Leary. Nice work, boys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dovey.
Thank you, David. Nice work from you, David.
Yeah, it's good work.
Hitting that boost button.
Yeah, okay. Good work.
Harv Hat gave us 2,222 sats, a bag of twos, and he says, came through CurioCaster, and he says, Boostergram for live. I can't wait. Can't wait either, Harv Hat.
We're all excited about that.
Yeah, I had to pause work on the live stuff and go and actually put a real true split
editor
designer into Podcaster Wallet.
That's gonna be badass though. I can see it. I can see it. Yeah,
people
so
need
cool.
it.
People
yeah, need
we do.
It.
We do. People need it. The people need it, Dave.
Yes. Anonymous through Breeze, and he says 1,000 sass. He says, thanks for the nerdy stuff. We got nerdy today too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you, man. He's lady. 5,000 sats. Anonymous. No, this is not anonymous. I know who this is. 5,000 sats through Breeze, and says Bitcoin beatboxing, boost and sats and boost and sats. Kyle Hebert, Intergalactic Boombox.
Wait a minute, do we have that song?
We've got his. We've got the beatbox thing.
And sats. Do I have?
I think it was an end of show mix.
I have it here.
Chapters, transcripts, images, links, stream micropayments to the podcast, and send Satoshis in real time over the Lightning Network using a compatible Podcasting 2.0 app. Just go to newpodcastapps.com. That's newpodcastapps.com. And for more info, go to podcastindex.org.
Boost! Was that the one?
Yeah, that's it.
I love that one.
That guy's great. Go listen to his podcast. It's Intergalactic Boombox. It's awesome.
And short episodes. They're fun.
Yeah, you can knock one out in just 20 minutes.
It's like a dessert.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, so our monthly donors is...
Let me remind everybody, this is value for value. What you heard here were the boostergrams. If you don't know what it is, go to newpodcastapps.com. And not only will you have a lot of fun, you could spark good debate, good jokes, and you support the project. This whole project is value for value. It's an open project. What you're helping here is to keep the servers running for podcastindex.org, keep the lightning channels liquid, and keep literally money flowing through the system. Dave and I use our own money for boostograms. You know, just, everyone's putting into it, but the value that we're getting back is off the charts, and you can do it through good old-fashioned PayPal and your fiat fund coupons by going to podcastindex.org. Scroll to the bottom, click on the red donate button, or in any Podcasting 2.0 app, we also have a little, should be a little bank sign, or a little piggy bank, or a penny, or a dollar. That's a direct link to our PayPal as well.
Yep. I almost messed up here because Mike Newman sent us a PayPal that I had pulled up, and I almost did the same thing again that I did to Alex last week. So he sent us $17.89.
$17.89.
And yeah, and he says, message, howdy, fellas. This was supposed to be coming at you in SAS by now.
It's the Constitution. Is it the Constitution? Yeah.
Bill of Rights, yeah.
Oh, Bill of Rights, yeah.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be coming to you in SAS by now, but I'm not quite there yet with my monthly SAS sling trebuchet. Please accept this $17.89 in cup pennies in honor of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. Thank you for your courage.
Oh, thank you. Very nice.
Thank you, Mike. I like cuck pennies. Those cuck are good.
Pennies, good.
Let's see. So our monthly donors are Mark Graham, $1. Joseph Maraca, $5. David Midas, hey, Fun Fact Friday, $10. Cameron Rose, $25. Cameron's been donating for a long time. Jeremy New, $5. Greg Thomas, $5. Lauren Ball, $24.20, and Podverse LLC, $50.
Oh, thanks, Martin.
Yeah. No, Podverse. That's
Podverse. Mitch. Thank you.
Mitch, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you said Podfriend. Yeah.
We had one person cancel a $5 a month subscription, and that's really, we have had very few cancellations of subscriptions.
Well, a lot of people are canceling to transition over to boosting, which I completely encourage. That is definitely the way to go because that stuff grows. We had, I mean, you can look at our note at any time you want. We had, I think, 2 weeks ago, we probably had, what do we have, like $10,000 on the node in dollars, fiat fund coupons, and just with the appreciation of the Bitcoin price action and, of course, boostograms, I think we're hitting 15 now. It's almost 50% more money. It's beautiful. Just that's what I love about this project. Just keep all those sats there. Stack them over there.
And now that Tim, see, we're in that, and what's important about that is that Tim, we've been banking all these sats so that we can fund our note, our LN Pay instance. Yeah. And so Tim finished that, and so now I'll transition into getting that, you know, that thing running. And well, it'll take some time because Eric has to figure out, you know, legal stuff and all that kind of jazz, but you know, we've got the node now, and then we've got the sats now to fund it so we can start doing that cool stuff.
And so so we'll be hosting wallets?
We'll be hosting like to be able to do like one thing that I think we'll be able to do pretty cool is like one-off episode level wallets. So if somebody is going to have a guest, don't have a wallet.
Super cool. Very cool. Hey, Brian, you still awake?
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I just want to make sure you're not keeling over there.
No. All right. This is a joy for me.
You know? Good.
The only thing that this messes up now is my Saturday morning ritual of listening to the show.
You can listen to yourself.
I'll have to.
I always listen to the show.
I have to admit, I do too.
Yeah.
I listen to most of my shows, but for not really like, I listen to see how things land, how it worked, how it sounded.
Yeah.
But not to comprehend. Well, it's a technical review, I think.
I'm going to head back to work. So,
oh, that was it? We have no more of those our monthlies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I'm sorry we kept you a little longer, but you also are holding down the fort there. You got people out, right?
Yeah. My coworker COVID yesterday, so he's out of commission.
Yeah.
So, just me flying solo.
Okay, but he's going to be okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like be doing pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Sir Brian of London. You, sir, are a gem. and an incredibly colorful person, and I am happy to have you in my life, and I'm happy to have you in the podcasting 2.0 ecosystem and arena, because you really bring a lot of joy to the everything.
That's what I try to do. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I have getting back into coding after I didn't do it for so long. I went all the way to a PhD in physics, and then I basically stopped writing code, and that was more than 25 years ago. And it is an absolute joy now to learn to code again, because the world is so different. This GitHub stuff and collaborations, and
it's fun,
and unbelievable.
And you got Alex whipping you.
Oh, and no, Alex is a gem. I am so grateful. To be mentored properly and to accept mentoring is something I guess maybe with age, you learn to be humble and learn to know when other people know much more than you. And it's a joy. And it's amazing to have a resource like that. That I can just call on and say, hey, Alex, how do you do this? And to watch your stuff. Anyway.
Neil Peart had a drum instructor in his 60s. So,
anybody is welcome to join in the fun and mentor or be mentored. And you can go to podcastindex.social and sign up. We'd love to have the more people who jump in, the better. Brian, thank you very much. I've got your GitHub in the show notes. Also, I have the proper node. So anyone who boosts this, but also if you just listen to new podcast app, newpodcastapps.com. You'll be sending Brian some sats, which, we know where it ultimately winds up.
It goes in the
hive machine. Dave, have a great weekend, amigo.
You too, brother. See you guys later, man.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for attending the board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. We'll be back next week to bring it all to you, the latest happening in the namespace, Podcasting 2.0, and on the Mastodon. Talk to you then.
Been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Boost!
Boost!